RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to our English program of the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, Focus and Use in Brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. To conclude our program for today, we'll present you our daily segment, Music Corner. That's our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here's the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. Trade Minister opened Archipelago Food Exhibition and Domestic Product Expo 2015. French investor to build hydropower plant in West Aceh. House Speaker welcomes Japanese ambassador. Now the news in detail. On Thursday, Indonesian Trade Minister Thomas Trikasilembon opened officially the Archipelago Food Exhibition and Domestic Product Expo 2015, which is taking place in Jakarta from 5th until 8th of November. On the occasion, Minister Thomas appreciated the participants who participated in the exhibition. He said such exhibition is able to create entrepreneurs and new job for people. Indonesia is of course in majority rather than in the economy of small, medium enterprises as a mass. This is practically the same as all the countries in the world. Almost all countries in the world, the majority rather than the economy, jobs, even a majority of export come from as a mass. Of course, it becomes a huge task, the Ministry of Trade, to foster, assist and support anyway. Our friend at the SMS who worked hard to demonstrate the innovation and outstanding creativity. Minister Thomas added, Trade Minister has facilitated about 22,000 micro and small and medium enterprises SMS. In the various activities, according to him, over the last 9 years, the Archipelago Food Exhibition and Domestic Product Expo has recorded a total of 14 billion rupiah from 3,100 SMEs. Furthermore, Minister Thomas Lembon said these efforts will continue to be done in order to raise the level of SMEs, starting from micro, small and medium to become independent. The exhibition is participated in by around 280 small and medium enterprises from all over Indonesia. Investor from France will build a hydropower plant with a capacity of 59 megawatts in Sikundo, Pantai Cirimund, West Aceh District, Aceh Province. A representative of the Management Consortium of Aceh Hydropower, Stephen, said on Tuesday that the investment value of the project is pegged at around $50 million. He said that the project is being carried out through a collaboration between consortium and the state-owned electricity company PLN and its subsidiary. According to Stephen, the plan for the construction of the hydroelectric power plant has been explored since 2011, saying that the utilization of renewable energy sources and environment-friendly energies aim at meeting the energy needs of the business and potential investor, especially in West Aceh. The Health and Environment Agent BLHK, Teku Fodi, added that the hydroelectric plant utilizes the Munaburi River streams, which are connected with the Butan Atu River, Nagan Raya. The Speaker of the House of Representatives DPR, Setia Novanto, welcomed Japanese Ambassador to Indonesia, Yasuaki Tanasaki, to discuss ways to strengthen bilateral relations between both nations in Jakarta on Thursday. According to Speaker Setia, Japan is keen to strengthen cooperation in the areas of infrastructure development of seaports and transportation. Speaker Novanto noted that relations between the two countries have existed since long and are expected to be further intensified. He pointed out that Japan had made significant investment in Indonesia, adding that the Indonesian government would simplify procedures for Japanese investors. Meanwhile, Ambassador Yasuki asserted that Japan is keen to improve relations in various sectors in Indonesia, particularly in the field of defense and economy. He also vowed to hold further discussion on the development of cooperation between the two countries. The United States Agency for International Development, USAID, has announced a new period of funding through the Partnership for Enhanced Engagement in Research, or PEER, for research on climate change, education, and wildlife trade. Deputy Chief of Mission Brian McFeeters noted in a press release received on Thursday, the United States is pleased to help develop a new network of scientists in Indonesia. According to the statement, the submission of funding application for scientists has been opened and proposals are due on January 15, 2016. PEER is a competitive awards program that invites scientists for developing countries to support research on key development areas of importance of the USAID. PEER is conducted under partnership with parties and they receive funding from the United States government and certain private parties. USAID's PEER program has already awarded $1.6 million in research funding to 37 Indonesian researchers. In 2015, funds were allocated to 7 Indonesian research projects that help sustain marine biodiversity, protect the environment, and promote education in Indonesia. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesia Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi is attending the Asia-Europe meeting ASEAN in Luxembourg on 4th until 6 November 2015. She's the main speaker at the meeting with the team working together for a sustainable and secure future. The spokesperson of Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry, Armanata Kristiawan Nasir, at a press conference in Jakarta on Tuesday said that Minister Retno is discussing some issues which had been a main focus of the Indonesian government in Paris World Forums related to extremism and radicalism.
Pada salah satu sesi retreat yang mengangkat tema
at one of the retreat sessions with the theme violence, countering terrorism and extremism, of course, in the event, the Foreign Affairs Minister is discussing some issues which had been continuously raised by Indonesian government related to Indonesian efforts to counter the violence, extremism and radicalism. By using soft power and the rule of two major Islamic organizations in Indonesia, Nahdlatul Ulama NU and Muhammadiyah, and the roles that they have played. Moreover, according to Armanata Kristiawan Nasir, Foreign Affairs Minister Retno is also discussing the empowerment of women and mothers in providing education to the children on a moderate ideology. The spokesperson of Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister also explained that the ASEAN meeting discusses several other important issues such as climate change, disaster management, sustainable development, connectivity, and future of ASEAN. Armanata Kristiawan Nasir added that on the sidelines of the ASEAN meeting, Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi conducts 13 bilateral meetings with British government, Ireland, Netherlands, Belgium, Spain, and Luxembourg as host of ASEAN. The ASEAN meeting is a forum that was established in 1996 to discuss the issues involving the European and Asian countries. It is designed as a forum for informal conversation between the European and Asian countries to discuss a wide range of issues such as economy, politics, defense, strategy, education, culture, and environment. Italian President Sergio Mattarella will make a state visit to Indonesia on 8th until 10th of November 2015. Based on the schedule, he will be received by Indonesian President Joko Widodo and accompanied by Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi. The spokesperson of Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry, Armanata Kristiawan Nasir, at a press conference in Jakarta on Tuesday said that the main purpose of historic visit is to improve economic cooperation. He also explained that the visit of President Sergio Mattarella to Indonesia is a very historic visit, because it is the first time for an Italian president to visit Indonesia since the two countries opened bilateral relations in 1949.
Pada tanggal 8-10 akan ada kunjungan ke.
On 8 to 10 November, there will be a state visit of Italian president. This is an historic visit because it is the first time for an Italian president to visit Indonesia since we established the bilateral relations in 1949. President of Italy, Sergio Mattarella, will meet President Joko Widodo on November 9th. The main purpose of this visit is to improve the bilateral cooperation, especially in the economic field. According to Armanata Kristawan Nasir, President Sergio Mattarella will be accompanied by 28 top entrepreneurs from the PISA country with many fields such as maritime, infrastructure, banking, and energy. Besides, Armanata Kristawan Nasir said that there are some issues that will be discussed in the bilateral meeting between President Joko Widodo and President Sergio Mattarella. There are creative industries sector, maritime infrastructure, tourism and renewable energy, and the management of cultural heritage. Based on the plan, in a bilateral meeting between President Joko Widodo and President Sergio Mattarella, there will be the signing of two memorandums of understanding, namely the policy on visa exemption of diplomatic and official passport holders and the tourism cooperation. In addition to bilateral meeting with President Joko Widodo, President Sergio Mattarella is scheduled to deliver a keynote speech at the Indonesian National Defense Institute. Italy is one of Indonesia's largest trading partners in Europe, with a value of trade between the two countries reaching $4 billion in 2014. With a surplus of Indonesia amounting to $569 million. The last item, Chairman of Indonesian Institute of Science LIPI Iskandar Sulkarnain to a rival service at a seminar of challenge and prospect of electricity power policy at LIPI's building in Jakarta on Tuesday said, the LIPI is offering some regional governments to be able to build electric power plant to fulfill the people's electrical needs. He said up now LIPI keeps communicating with many regional governments to cooperate in building electrical energy.
Kebutuhan listrik untuk masyarakat.
If we see the domain of the people's electric needs is the regional government, so LIPI communicates with them to explore LIPI's technology. But if they do not want to prioritize building electrical energy, we feel difficult. Sometimes the position of scientists cannot implement their idealism. LIPI has developed. We always try to socialize, but the decision is on the regional government's policy. Moreover, Iskandar Sulkarnain also said that the central government must be able to materialize the electric energy for Indonesian people across the country. He said it becomes a serious challenge for the government because the problem of electrical plant is so complicated. That's news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Listener, welcome back to commentary entitled Conflict on Spiritly Islands is Not Over Yet. On Wednesday, November the 4th, Defense Minister of the Member Countries of the Association of the Southeast Asian Nations, or ASEAN, held a meeting in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. However, the meeting did not produce a binding agreement related to the activities of the People's Republic of China, or PRC, in the South China Sea. Some member states of the ASEAN won the final statement of the meeting to include reclamation projects undertaken by the PRC on a coral island in the Spratly Islands. U.S. Defense Secretary Ash Carter, who attended the meeting, affirmed that the South China Sea issue will continue to be agenda which appears in the coming meeting. On the same case, U.S. officials say China wants no problem in the final statement. But in turn, it was denied by the PRC, which has accused the intervention of certain countries. Clearly, the United States and the Philippines are against China's reclamation projects in the Spratly Islands. Beijing authority asserts that the project is located in the China's own territory and it tries to claim the islands. The United States did not remain silent. Some time ago, it sent a boat to the nearby island reclaimed by China, and this was considered as a provocation by the People's Republic of China. Meanwhile, the Philippines decides to take a legal action by filing a lawsuit in international court in Hague. Malaysia has also filed an objection to project in the disputed territory and declared as a provocation. Commander of the Malaysian Armed Forces, General Zulkifli Mohamed Zin, said at a security meeting in Beijing in the mid-October that China provoked by building residents in the South China Sea. The statement was responded by the Chinese Vice Foreign Minister Liang Zemin in the same forum. The construction of the lighthouse on the island is useful for security in the South China Sea. In addition to the Philippines and Malaysia, the construction project is also protested by Vietnam that files a claim for Spratly Islands. Vietnam and Philippines dared to criticize. On the other hand, Malaysia is brave to apply the borderline with China in the South China Sea. With the presence of Chinese Navy military exercises in the region, which is part of Malaysia's exclusive economic zone, this makes Kuala Lumpur government request Beijing authority to change its offensive approach. Although not directly involved in the conflict in the Spratly Islands, Indonesia could propose that the conflict can be resolved in a peaceful way through negotiations. In the forum of ASEAN, Indonesia can play a major role so that the conflict could soon be resolved. In addition, there is another forum such as the ASEAN-China that could bring the disputing parties to sit directly. The question is that when the issue is solved completely without any side feeling defeated. Well, listener, that was commentary today.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Welcome back to Today in History, a daily segment of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, which brings back people and events from this day in the past, as recorded in history. We start from an event on November 6, 1908. Cut Nyadin passes away in Sumedang, West Java. Cut Nyadin is a national hero, the women of steel from Ground Fire Mecca, independence figures who take part before the period of national awakening. Cut Nyadin Lampadang, born in the province of Aceh in 1850 and died in exile in West Java, Sumedang, 6 November 1908. Cut Nyadin married at the age of 12 years with Teku Cik Lemnga Ibrahim. But in a battle in Getarum in June 1878, her husband Teku Ibrahim died. Then Cut Nyadin vowed will only accept the proposal from the man who is willing to help the avenge the death of Tengku Ibrahim. Since married with Teku Umar, determination struggle of Cut Nyadin greater. She struggled with her husband since 1893 to March 1896 in its struggle to pretend Teku Umar in cooperation with the Netherlands as a tactic to obtain weapons and other war supplies. Dated on February 11, 1899, Teku Umar killed in fierce fighting in Malabo. Netherlands became suspicious that Cut Nyadin, exiled in Sumedang in West Java, on December 11, 1905. On November 6, 1903, Duong Van Minh takes over South Vietnam government after Prime Minister Ngo Dinh Diem killed. Duong Van Minh, more famous widely as Big Minh, the name of Big Minh was brought on him because he has 1.83 meter height and 91 kilogram weight. Duong Van Minh led the South Vietnam soldiers under Prime Minister Ngo Dinh Diem. In 1963, he became the leader of South Vietnam after Prime Minister Ngo Dinh Diem was killed in a coup d'etat. The Duong leadership only lasted for 2 months, however, in a short time, he returned to lead South Vietnam before handed the nation to the communist power. And we conclude today's segment of Today in History on November 6, 1964, Hans von Oeterchalpin, German-born chemist, passes away. Hans Karl Olga Simon von Oeterchalpin was a Swedish biochemist who was born in Germany. He won a Nobel Prize in chemistry in 1929 with Arthur Hardin for their research about sugar fermentation and fermentation enzyme. He was a general and organic chemistry professor at the University of Stockholm and director of Institution for Organic Chemistry Research at the university. Listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Hello listener, welcome to Focus. Today's edition, we take you to talk about high-risk pilgrims will be restricted. Listener, Indonesian government considered to postpone the departure of high-risk Hajj pilgrim to the Holy Land of Mecca. It was aimed at keeping their salvation of soul during performing worship, the fifth pillar of Islam. Religious Minister Luqman Hakim Saifuddin, at the opening of National Working Meeting Hajj Evaluation at Mercure Hotel, Ancol, Jakarta on Tuesday, November 3rd, said, this year, there were 38 pilgrims died at the embarkation or before departure to the Saudi Arabia and 638 pilgrims died in the Holy Land. They actually included the victims of crane and Mina tragedies. According to the minister, the main issue is not to the elderly worshippers. As long as still in good health, elderly worshippers do not bring any significant problems. The pilgrims with high risk depended on their physical capabilities when conducting worship in Medina and Mecca. Therefore, the departure of the high-risk pilgrims should be postponed in order to maintain their safety. The minister said that he had talked with some of the figures in the Indonesian Ulama Council. The Ulama Council also understand the proposal of ability of the pilgrims not only be evaluated from the material but also physically. Chairman of the House of Representatives Commission 8, Saleh Partaunan Daulay, said, worshippers at high risk are actually the most crucial issues in the organizing of the Hajj pilgrims this year. Personally, he agreed that if the issue will be discussed. However, he also reminded the regulation of this country cannot ban people to perform the pilgrimage due to the health reasons. According to Saleh, Indonesian society also believes better die in the Holy Land than in the country. Therefore, he encouraged the improvement of health facilities during Hajj operations. Meanwhile, head of the Health Center of Hajj Ministry of Health, Firdiansyah, said the discussion of health capability or istita'ah is not intended to provide the prohibition of pilgrims to leave for the Holy Land. The discussion is aimed at improving the quality of pilgrims to be carrying out worship well. He said the concept of health istita'ah will refer to health building of Hajj pilgrims earlier. That was Focus.
Listener, here is the headlines of several national newspapers published today, Friday, November 11, 2015. We begin with Business Indonesia, which in its headline wrote, Indonesian economy ready to run fast. Indonesian government again spread various incentives near the year end, so that the next year's economy can be better. In creating business certainty and appeal, the 6th economy policy package was launched yesterday, with its main focus on special economic zone, water source undertaking, and medicine material import permit simplification. Coordinating Minister for Economy Darmin Nasution said that the launch deregulation policy is expected to give legal certainty and appeal for the investors. Darmin admitted that the regulation policy announced recently will affect the 2016's economy because it is launched in the end of 2015. He further explained the policy had just increased the interest of foreign investors and bank credit data flow. However, the increase is yet to be optimum and still relatively low. Meanwhile, Republika wrote development yet to overcome unemployment. Economic condition in the third quarter of 2015 brought good and bad news at the same time. Central Statistics Agency, or BPS, said the economic development is increasing along with the unemployment. According to the data released by the agency, Indonesian economy in the third quarter increased 4.73%, better than in the preceding quarter with only 4.67%. Nevertheless, Accounts and Data Analysis Deputy of BPS, Kecuk Suharyanto, said in August 2015 there were 7.56 million unemployed people, or 6.18% of the total 122.4 million workforce. Meanwhile, in February, BPS announced unemployment reached 7.45 million or 5.81%.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Here news in brief read by Rahmana. On Tuesday, Indonesian Trade Minister Thomas Trikasilambon opened officially the Archipelago Food Exhibition Domestic Product Expo 2015, which is taking place in Jakarta from 5th until 8th of November. Investors from France will build a hydropower plant with a capacity of 59 megawatts in Sukundo, Pantai Curumend, West Aceh District, Aceh Province. Speaker of the House of Representatives DPR Setia Novanto welcomed Japanese Ambassador to Indonesia Yasuki Tanasaki to discuss ways to strengthen cooperation between both nations in Jakarta on Tuesday. The United States Agency for International Development, USAID, has announced a new field of funding through the Partnership for Enhanced Engagement in Research, or PEER, for research on climate change, education, wildlife trade. Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi attending the Asia-Europe meeting ASEM in December on 4 until 6 November 2015. She is the main speaker at the meeting with the tint, working together for a sustainable and secure future. Italian President Sergio Mattarella will make a state visit to Indonesia on 8 until 10 November 2015. Based on the schedule, he will be received by Indonesian President Joko Widodo and accompanied by Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi. Chairman of the Indonesian Institute of Science LIPI Iskandar Sukarnain to air rival service at a seminar of challenge and prospect of electricity power policy at LIPI's building in Jakarta on Tuesday said that LIPI is offering some regional governments to be able to build electric power plant to fulfill the people's electrical needs. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
You're still tuning in to the Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta. And listener, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll invite you to visit Southeast Sulawesi. So, stay tuned. Buton is an island located in the southern province of South Sulawesi. On the island, we can find Bao Bao City. The city was firstly became the center of the Kingdom of Buton. Therefore, in Bao Bao City, there are still some remnants of the historic building of the Buton Kingdom, such as Buton Palace Fortress and the Palace Mosque. With the historic buildings, historical tourism become a leading of Bao Bao tourism activity. Besides historical attractions, Bao Bao City also offers nature tourism activities. There are a variety of natural attractions of interest to visit the city, one of these marine tourism, namely Nirvana Beach. Nirvana means paradise. The beach, which is located in the town of Baobao, offers exquisite natural beauty. Nirvana Beach has white sand beach with swaying along the coast. The seawater has three combinations of colors, namely white, turquoise, and light blue. Waves on the beach is very quiet, even without coral. It is suitable for playing water, swimming, snorkeling, and diving. When snorkeling or diving, you can see a wonderful variety of marine life, such as fish and colorful coral reefs. If lucky, sea turtles can be seen on the beach. Nirvana Beach also has the best sunset views while rising sunrise and set sunset. These moments are often used by many young couples for their pre-wedding background photo. Not far from the beach location, there is also a cave with brackish water bath extends about 50 meters. Local people call the Moko Cave. Supposedly the source of the water is never a dry eye. The location of this cave is located on the southern part of Nirvana Beach. To reach locations not only takes less than 10 minutes to walk down the beach. For the Baobao people, Nirvana Beach not only limited to recreational sites, but it used as therapeutic activity to treat several types of ailments such as asthma and respiratory disorders. For therapy, they soak in the freshness of the seawater beach. Listener, Nirvana Beach that is located in the Sula village, Batuang Parisam district, can be taken approximately 15 minutes from the city center and not far from Baobao Airport. Visitors who come on the motorbike had to pay the money goes to 2,000 and 5,000 rupiah for the car. On the beach, rental is available tires for swimming and diving equipment rental services. You can also use the facilities that can be used to relax and unwind. Some food stalls and restaurants can also be found around the beach, as well as a palace to stay. There are many of the available accommodation around the region. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Nirvana Beach. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Voice of Indonesia listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Miscellany with me, Steve. In today's edition, we take you to find out about the character of Panji in mass dance through contemporary dance. Panji in Mask Dance is the real main character. This dance has soft character. Its dance movement is always small and soft. Its steps are minimalist, what mask without complicated ornaments describes the holiness of a newborn human. So, he doesn't need any makeup. Just let the face natural. Panji Mask Dance is a dance that presenting the power of paradoxical universe. With this dance, the universal paradox principle, as well as masculinity and femininity, are presented. The God of Creator is presented through myth and symbol of Panji. He is masculine and feminine at the same time. He is the sun and the moon. He is the night and the day. He is life and death. Paradox time and space are also found in this God. Panji is indeed a specially described character. Moreover, it needs strength and strong determination to master Panji dance movement. Even though its movement is not as dynamic as its accompaniment music, this dance is more difficult than other mask dances. Patience, strength, and discipline are highly needed to learn Panji mask dance. However, a young girl named Fitria Satya Nurwara breaks all the rules to learn Panji mask dance. She chooses contemporary dance to publish the character of Panji. In Gotra Sawala Festival, which is held in Cirebon, West Java some time ago, Fitria successfully attracted audience through her choreography.
Di sini saya itu ingin menunjukkan sebetulnya bahwa yang kita tahu sebagai seniman akademis atau non-akademis adalah...
Here, I want to show that what we know as academic or non-academic artist is mask dance only have 5 characters. But I want to show that this mask dance can be also made from another side, namely contemporary side. Why do I take the character of Panji? It is because Panji is the most standard character. That is why I want to reveal the side of Panji from religion, life, and other values. Values in Panji are values for human's life too. That's what I want to show.
Nilai-nilai yang lain gitu ya, dan itu pun kan nilai yang ada dalam sisi Panji adalah nilai buat kehidupan manusia juga, dan itu yang saya ingin tunjukkan.
Breaking an old tradition that has been preserved from generation to generation is not easy. However, young soul in Fitria keeps flaring to produce simply beautiful choreography through the Musubudi story. Fitria indeed changes standard or main tradition in the character of Panji, but simplicity is still upheld to make the audience can still see the humbleness in the character of Panji. Well, Voice of Indonesia listener, that ends today's miscellany on another side of Panji. I'm Steve, thank you for listening.
Meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with me, Steve, in our regular segment, Music Corner, introducing you to Indonesian music, both traditional and the modern ones. Today's edition presenting you a dangdut singer named Ona Sutra, who was popular in 80s through her popular album, Bola. Well, listener, to begin our program, here is one song by Ona Sutra entitled Bola, or in English, Ball. Well, happy listening.
Bola!
Listener Onasutra songs are indeed popular because they are easy listening with funny lyrics. In coincidence, the song entitled Bola or Ball was released when the World Cup was held. The rhythm makes everyone sing along. Alright, listener, before we continue the program, let's enjoy one more song by Onasutra entitled Bukan Dia or Not Him. Check it out.
Seharusnya aku yang di situ.
Listener, in March 2014, Ona Sutra performed to end even the art night in Labuan Batu Utara Regency at an open stage in the 43rd North Sumatra Fair, or PRSU. Ona Sutra, who is usually called as Bang Haji, attracted North Sumatra Fair visitors, especially the dangdut lovers. Although accompanied by keyboard only, the stage act of the 80s singer could grab the audience's heart by singing some of his hits like Bola, Asam di Gunung, Ikan di Laut, and Terbayang-Bayang. Well, listener, that's a glimpse, a very glimpse of Ona Sutra, dangdut singer who was popular in 80s. And now to end the program, we will play you two more songs by Ona Sutra, entitled Della and Titip Cintaku. Thank you very much for listening and see you next time.
Thank you.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.